You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, what's going on? This is episode 277 of the IT and the D Show. Guests this week include Brent Yax. He's the CEO of Awcom. He has a very cool article he wrote.
Include and end with.
Right, exactly. One guest. No, but he had a cool blog about technical debt, and I reached out, and I really wanted to chat with him about it. But also, he's been around about as long as I've been in Detroit for about 20 years, and he's transformed his business a couple times. So definitely want to get to some stories on how that goes and how that works.
Pivoting. And
no, we're not talking about pivoting.
Changing paradigms.
No. No. Retransformation. But hey, this show is brought to you by our friends at Palm. Can you believe this? Palm is back.
Like, dude,
I
assure you, if I go up into my storage closet in one of those bins, I still have my Palm Pro.
Oh, there's a couple. Yeah, because I remember buying one for my wife a long time. Yeah,
because right, I had the Palm.
Right.
And you had the Palm Pro with the antenna.
Right.
And then, yeah, oh, yeah.
But Palm is back, and it's available at Verizon. Palm is a small, practical companion device that syncs with your existing smartphone, so all of your info is seamlessly connected. Palm is not a replacement for your smartphone, but it has all the same mobility and capability, allowing you to leave your smartphone behind so you can focus on what's in front of you. Dave, I think I'm going to buy one of these for you for Christmas so you can leave your smartphone behind. Us a favor. Go to palm.com to learn more and run to your nearest Verizon store and check out Palm for yourself.
Very cool.
Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
Someone try. Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the IT and D
Show. This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is David Kane, the voice of Professor Xavier from X-Men Evolution. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit on my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds! What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave.
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Hey, what is up? Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the one and only IT in the D show. Thank you for clicking play. Yes.
We have no more events this year.
No more events this year. Woo! Well, we do, but they're not planned. We have things to do. We are hanging out in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is on assignment. But we have our guest sitting in his seat. Nuri's going to be mad. And also, Randy, I do the Twitters, is in the house. Find us online, itinthed.com. Do us a favor, give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so finally, there's a cloud platform built for you and your business. DigitalOcean offers the simplest, most developer-friendly cloud hosting solution. It's optimized to meet your needs and make managing infrastructure easy. Plus, DigitalOcean makes it easy to deploy, manage, and scale applications with an intuitive control panel and an API designed for developers. So you can spend more time building great things and less time managing your infrastructure. No wonder DigitalOcean is the preferred cloud platform of hundreds of thousands of innovative companies, including Docker, GitLab, and Slack. Join them along with 150,000 other businesses that are already creating amazing things on DigitalOcean to get the infrastructure services you need to grow, from predictable pricing through flexible configurations to industry-leading customer support. Get started with a free $100 credit towards your first project and experience everything the platform has to offer, like cloud firewalls, real-time monitoring and alerts, global data centers, object storage, and the best support anywhere. Just go to do.co. That's do.co/ITinTheD, all smushed together, IT in the D, to claim your credit today. That's do.co/ITinTheD. Join DigitalOcean and unlock the power of simplicity.
That's the best URL in the game.
Doco.
And
they need the dojo.
Randy, can you do me a favor and send a tweet out to Billy Ocean and see how much his rates would be to do a read for us? Hi, this is Billy Ocean for DigitalOcean. And it can't be much.
He's got to be bored.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not doing anything.
Right.
He's still alive, right?
I don't know. Who knows? So Dave was mentioning, we are done with events for this year. We wrapped up last week at the Detroit Shipping Company, had our annual Christmas party. There's still time to donate. Hunger Free in the D. The Salani Family Foundation is doubling all your donations. They're giving money. You can pick between Gleaners Food Bank and Capuchin Soup Kitchen, my only two charities that I donate to every single year.
Well, and she was so great, just, because one of the representatives came out, and she was phenomenal. Had a conversation with us, loved what we were doing.
Yep.
Loved the whole concept, and it is. I mean, it's a great thing they're doing as well. So
absolutely, yeah, doubling all your donations. So yeah, hungerfreeinthed.com. If you have a couple bucks to spare this holiday season, but yeah, we are planning for 2019. If you got any ideas. I was going to throw that out on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll listen.
If you got any ideas where you want to go, we're planning. We're probably going to be every other month like we usual in Royal Oak and Detroit. If you got somewhere crazy you want to be, we're thinking about like the Hub in Auburn Hills, these big venues. Let us know. We would love to go check them out.
Itinity axe throwing. What can go wrong?
Exactly. Foley for everyone. No, but we, I don't know if we want to keep it, dive bar-y or if we want to do a couple bigger events. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I kind of miss the fact that we didn't do any pink slip parties this year. I kind of do.
The market kind of bears that we
don't. Well, but I mean, just the fact that we just didn't do a bigger event that I could freak out about for 3 days leading up to it.
Right.
I mean, I just,
We could always do like a birthday party at like, hire Digital Underground.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Still out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Want.
Get a keynote, maybe like a cool CEO from like a, local web company that's been around for 20 years.
or some guy in Jersey that does podcasts.
Oh, that's, yeah, them too. the story that's been, it's been around for a day or two and you probably heard about it 100 times is the whole Kevin Hart thing. It's been driving me nuts. If you've been living under a rock and haven't heard what's going on, Kevin Hart was supposed to host the Oscars, right? And we all know Kevin Hart. He's like The Rock's little brother.
And he did Heart in the City. He did a lot. He had this great thing for, comedians like Mike Jeter. Dude, we love Jeter. Jeff Horst was here on the show. Did the Heart of the City thing here in Detroit. Gave them all a little lift up. Life was good.
Yeah.
Someone went and had the free time to go digging up tweets from 2011 and found
Which,
out
Which, let's
he
be
had,
clear, is 7 years ago now.
Well, it was also pre him being
blowing
a
up
public yeah. figure. He was – I'm not excusing what he said because it was stupid. But people, you know, as far as I'm concerned, people are allowed to grow up and evolve and change their – you know, I've known I've changed my – granted, I don't post
Have you
stupid,
really?
publicly. Go dig through my Twitter. You'll find about 4 posts all time.
Right.
I don't – yeah, that's not something I –
Just
you know,
stay out of my text messages.
That
Apparently
too.
One of the things, though, was they gave an ultimatum or, you know, they said, if you apologize, we'll let you keep the job.
He wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it. And now he's apologizing.
No, he's apologizing to the community.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with that apology. Like, screw you, Oscars. Like, if you didn't bring it up, nobody would even know.
Dude, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to apologize for anything I said 7, 10 years ago.
Hell no, I'm not either.
That may have been who I was at the time. We're different people now. You know, at some point in time, you have to take people as they are now, not as they were. They say you're supposed to completely change as a person every 7 to 10 years.
That's taste buds.
No, that's the every cell in your body regenerates. Oh. Yeah. But I mean, it's, you know, whether it's, you know, the friends you hang out with or the job that you have or just, you know, what you like, dislike, approve of, disapprove of. It's just a thing.
No, and you grow up and you meet people, kind of like, you know, me with PenguinCon.
Yeah, your horizons expand.
Remember, me with PenguinCon, I'm exposed to a different mm-hmm. community than I ever was before. My eyes got opened up. I learned something and I grew and I became better for it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how people are in general. And like, you know, just because you say a stupid word, you know, and that's the funny thing now, like people are digging up other people's going, why aren't you mad at them? Why aren't you mad at them?
Of course.
Why aren't you mad at them? It's like, well, how far are we going to go with all this crap? Like, really, how far are we going to go?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm telling my, you know, raising my kids proper, going, the internet's forever.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you post will be incriminated upon you when you get older. So just be cognizant of that. But I mean, I don't think anyone would have known or cared if it wasn't brought up. And now it's become this huge stink. And, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired.
I'm over it.
No, I'm just tired. Like, that's become the thing now. Anyone that's a public figure, someone's got to dig through your tweets for 3 days. Ah, I found something. Like, is that where that's what we become as a society?
Also, they probably should have done that before they offered him the job.
Why?
Yeah, why?
I mean, see if there's anything that.
It's 7 years ago.
But it also reflects poorly on them that they have to find somebody 3 days after they offered him the job.
Well, not only that, I mean, Harvey. How many times was Harvey Weinstein at the Oscars? Let's be honest. Let's not throw that. You know, Hollywood. Come on, it's been Hollyweird for a reason. And now you got morals. Now you got come on. give us all a freaking break.
Where's Corey Haim these days?
And the other one that oh my God, man, the other one that completely we talk about this all the time, and I had no idea it was this bad. So Uber and Lyft are basically talking about IPOing
right
Q1 19, which would probably be one of the biggest IPOs. This is one thing we always talked about, the valuation. So now Uber's valuation is $120 billion. Mm-hmm. They lost $1 billion last year, which
I don't get it.
I don't get either. What do you – I don't – you don't
– On server space?
You don't,
bandwidth?
Is it?
I don't know.
It's a lot of bandwidth.
Devs.
You can call me if you want some more. but it's their valuation has eclipsed Ford, GM, and FCA combined.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make anything.
And their technology is useless without the products from those companies.
Correct.
Well, if you look at it, I mean, that's why, you know, like GM dove in with Maven. Or is it? Yeah, it's GM that does Maven, which is their own car sharing. And it's a step further. It's not even like ride sharing. It's car sharing.
Well, now it's even getting stupider because Uber wants to get in the scooter business. Scooters, as if there's not enough scooters
that's
littering our streets.
Yeah, thanks, Bird and Lyft. Yeah,
yeah,
or Bird and Lime.
Right.
Yeah. No, thanks. That's amazing.
I don't like, you know, all these weird things. Going on, like Google now, Google Waymo launched. If you don't know what that is,
Waymo One.
Their self-driving taxi.
Go stomping.
Johnny Cab.
I go stomping in my Waymo One.
Right. You're gonna end up in a. But again, I'm not getting in that goddamn car.
Like, did you see, like, the control panel and everything else that it has? Where, like, there's a start ride button. There's a call for help. button. There's a there was a start ride button. There's no stop ride button. So like if things go sideways, there's no like turn car off. Like if the stop if the car decides to drive you and park you in a container that's bound for China, that's right. Where you're going.
Or park in a lake.
Yeah.
Wait, there's no big red emergency stop.
Not that I saw. No.
Oh my.
Oh well, call for help.
They still have drivers.
They said driverless.
No,
there's a person in the car. There's a Waymo employee in the vehicle.
Isn't that defeat the purpose of? Have you watched the? I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like I've been down wormholes on like four different topics on YouTube. The bad passengers in Uber. It's insane.
Yeah, those make me understand why every like Uber or Lyft I get into has a camera in it now.
Oh, they have to. It's like every Russian dash cam.
Well, those are all facing forward.
For accidents, I know. But like everyone's got one facing back. Like I didn't realize people like thank you for the ride. I appreciate it. Like whatever happened to like just
I don't get it. Like I've never gotten
upset.
Shitty.
No. Even if they make a wrong turn. Oh, no, but it's that way.
Yeah. It's, hey, you're next.
Sorry. Yeah,
hey, man. It's like, dude, like, I don't know why Uber and Lyft can't update their apps, but they all still think 696 is open. And so, like, if I leave my car here at the studios overnight and I go home and then I got to catch one to come back here to get it, I'm like, you're just taking 11 miles. Look at me. This is the way you go now.
I'm your map now.
if you are not watching South Park this year, shame on you.
They're angry old men now. They're like us.
We
kind of grew up with them because they're the same age as us, aren't they?
They are. And I'm telling you, part of me is now convinced that they're contractually obligated to keep making episodes and they don't want to and they can't get out of it. And so they're just going to piss everybody – like because every episode ends with the hashtag cancel South Park and they're just pissing off everyone. Well, they're
trashing society.
Dude, they they went after Bezos and Amazon hard.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of
– dude, I can't wait for part two.
It's kind of deserved.
Oh, it is. But the consumer workers. I can't wait for part two this week.
Well, even the funnier thing is because they had the accident. They called it human error. Then the damn accident happened.
And literally a day later, you've got 24 Amazon warehouse employees in Jersey that get sent to the ER because a robot punctures a canister of bear mace.
But if you look at what they're doing, they're opening up these distribution centers everywhere. We have, what, two here?
At least.
One in Hazel Park.
Well, and Livonia.
Livonia, right.
And they want to build one of the, like, super-duper ones where the racetrack was.
That it's already there.
Mm. Still in progress.
Oh, because it's already in
it
was a smaller one, but yeah, the bigger one hasn't been done. But like, they kind of nailed it. Like, you know, it's kind of like when Walmart came in and then all the small mom and pops went out.
Well,
and
now that was the funniest,
Amazon's trumping Walmart now.
That was the funniest part to me is they kind of did this episode already with the Walmart episode
In
the day. Yeah,
totally. But they're just like, they're basically trashing on because like, I get you got little kids. Like everyone's self-diagnosing themselves in school now. Everyone has something.
Uh-huh. Anxiety.
Right.
The Buddha box.
I'm getting you a Buddha box for Christmas. That is so. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's basically a cardboard box over your head with just your phone, like
on the inside.
Like a replication of your screen, like 2 feet or 2 inches from your nose. And you could just like be.
And everybody's supposed to avoid you.
Right.
And not disturb you.
Right. Because
it's your Buddha box.
Because you're texting.
Your peace.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously, but I don't know how they're still funny and relevant. But
Well, no, dude. It's like I've said a million times. Like, you got to give them all the credit. They're like, you look at, like, whether it's, you know, Family Guy or Simpsons or, you know, any other cartoons that try to be topical. Or one of the reasons why they're not topical is because there's like a 12 to 18 month turnaround on those episodes. Dude, South Park goes from concept to air in 6 days because
it's nuts.
The way they do things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the election night episodes. Like they basically have 18 minutes of that episode done because elections are on Tuesday. South Park airs on Wednesday. They have like 18 minutes of that episode done and like they slam the last like 3-4 minutes together after the election results are in and off they go.
I still say the best one they've ever done was the douche versus the turd.
Right.
And then Stan's basically like, I'm not going to vote. Why? If my only choices are between a giant douche and a turd sandwich, why bother? You can't even vote. You know, but it's like that's so relevant almost every year.
Still. Oh, yeah. Still. It still gets posted every year.
Right.
Still, absolutely.
Either Brewster's Millions, none of the above, or douche and turd.
Like yeah. Those. Hey, so, you know, if you're hanging out on LinkedIn, you can apply to either play or be a coach in the upcoming XFL.
How is
through LinkedIn jobs?
You know, I love LinkedIn jobs. It's probably the only place that like it's the mainstay for like at least an IT professional like to keep in touch with. But if you're a football coach, do you really need to apply on LinkedIn jobs? Are you even on LinkedIn? Like if you're they're asking for players too. Like if you're a former college
coaches and players,
if you're an undrafted free agent or if you're playing in like Canada. Like you're not on LinkedIn.
Well, no, because you're probably a sales guy for some company somewhere,
right? For a medical device company,
right? And yeah, you're still longing for the days of
you're the hunter of the future.
Yar.
Oh, that, yar. No, it was Yor. Y O R.
Was it Yar? Oh, yeah. That's right. Yar was the video game on Atari.
It was. Revenge. They did. They had a Yor like 30th anniversary on YouTube, and brought the cast back. And I remember the song. Oh my god! That if you ever Yor Hunter of the Future is like a caveman movie in like 1981. Just
horrible.
Look it up. No, it wasn't horrible. It's amazing.
You know what's on Netflix now that I'm so happy about because I made the kids watch it yesterday, dude.
Last Dragon.
I know you've heard us talk about this before, and it was the first drop we ever got was from Timok. The Last Dragon is out on Netflix. Do yourselves a favor. Go freaking watch it.
No. It's not just go watch it. Watch it with your wife or your significant other and look at the look on their face.
Movie. If you've never seen it, watch it by yourself first.
Yeah.
And get the full enjoyment of it. Then watch it with someone else and watch them look at you with dumbfounded. Although, dude, my kids loved it.
They thought it was the greatest thing ever. It's so ridiculous. Like, if I'm the bad guy in the neighborhood and I want to beat everyone up, I'm not crashing the movie theater.
Well, and not only that, but like the little sparring.
Who's the meanest?
I don't know why this never dawned on me before, but like the sparring that they're showing, like proving what a badass he is in his dojo.
Right.
He's fighting these guys and he's wearing like football giant shoulder pads. Like huge, like he's basically wearing body armor.
He's a shogun
while he's fighting these guys. So like, no matter if they hit him or not, they can't hurt him. But he's beating their ass.
The movie theater. Like I forgot how stupid that was.
Why don't any 50 of y'all come down?
I'm just waiting
and
for
shut me up.
WMAC Masters to come back.
Oh.
It's like the big brawl in the movie, like showcase cinema. It's so stupid. Like seriously, at the end of it, she goes, "This is your movie. Like really? Like you made me sit through this?" I'm like, "Yes, it's amazing."
How many freaking Hallmark Christmas movies have I sat through?
Oh, yeah. I don't do it.
I love the meme that's floating around that said, "Oh, by the way, every Hallmark Christmas movie, it's a woman who's overworked and overstressed, and then a guy who shows her how to just listen to her heart." And sometimes there's a dog.
They're always Doc Hollywood. It's like rich guy from Hollywood goes to the country and then damsel in distress. Screw us for even knowing
my grandmother's flower store that I've read. Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
Right. But like we I know we talk about this all the time too, but there's finally numbers behind it now. Some stats came out that over 30% of all cellular calls are bullshit.
I think that's low.
And I know half of my day is swiping left on a 586-260 number that comes in that's the same as mine. Like, you don't think that we haven't fallen for that yet?
Yeah.
Like, really?
People do.
And it's everything from home improvements.
I love another meme that's floating around is the only person who really calls, checks on me every day and calls every day to care about me, and it's the potential scammer potential scam screenshot.
It's true. I don't get so many of the Microsoft calls. Now it's your computer's technical department.
Yes.
You know, and if I'm in the car and there's nothing going on, I love.
Well, you're driving, nothing else to do.
What computer? I run Ubuntu. Like, like anything stupid you could possibly say. I actually left it. It's funny, though. Like, I go, yeah, hang on a second, and I'll just leave it on my lap. And it's amazing they won't hang up on me. Like, to me, it's like, but 30%, they're anticipating it's going to get up to 50% soon. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. I mean, Microsoft, I think, is trying, but like, people
shutting
getting,
down call centers.
They're getting arrested.
Another one's going to open up right next door to it.
But do you ever answer a call? And then all of a sudden you get like three more that hour. It's like almost like they're in the same building or like they talk.
I got a live one.
Yeah, he answered.
Naturally.
Like, anyway.
So from the, like, this really had to be a rule department. I thought it was interesting that there was breaking news today that U of M, much like Starbucks, is telling you they're not going to allow porn over their Wi-Fi next year. U of M has announced
that. Get it in while you can.
That's right. U of M has announced that next year professors will not be allowed to date undergrads.
Also, get it in while you can.
But I like how they specified undergrads.
Yeah.
Like professors, like date, like students.
Yeah,
I know. Like the stories come out about like the heist, like with the, you know, that stuff.
Weren't we just talking about Animal House?
Yeah. Donald Sutherland. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't know that was like a thing. Like, wait, what?
Like, again, like, from the, okay, this has to be a rule now. Like, it's enough of a thing that.
Oh darn it! I can't date my. Wait, what?
It also applies to grad students in the same profession as the faculty member. But
It was anybody that could have potentially have academic oversight or influence on. Yeah.
But the fact that it needs to be written, it's kind of like one of those things. Isn't that like, doesn't most workplaces have policy on that? Like, don't you, like, I went through all that crap where it's like, yeah, we had to make an announcement on the morning call.
Yeah.
Me and so-and-so were dating. It's like, well, if someone's reporting to you, you shouldn't be dating them.
Like, no.
Or just like move into a different department if you really like them, which is, you know.
Current policy is apparently that the faculty member has to disclose their relationship with the undergrad.
That's current policy. Now it's verboten.
Yeah.
Or future is.
Yeah. So it's high fives in the boardroom now and then quiet now.
Yeah, now it's like, sneak over at 11 o'clock at night and don't tell nobody.
Right.
Which is what's going to happen anyway. Stupid rule.
So apparently Facebook doesn't like sex.
No,
they don't. They don't. Their terms of service say you can't mention sex. You can't talk about sex. You can't infer sex. You can't post about sexual positions. You cannot reference if you are a top or a bottom. You can't do anything.
My favorite of it. Sexual orientation.
No, my favorite of it. So it's like basically going through sexualized slang. Hints such as mentioning roles, positions, scenarios, fetishes, right? And my favorite line, I couldn't stop laughing, was, or commonly sexualized areas of the body such as breast, groin, or buttocks, or state of hygiene of genitalia or buttocks. State of, so it like.
Can't say you got a dirty ass.
My dirty ass. Yeah, like, what? Come on. Like, state of hygiene. How did this, like, you know they had a board meeting to come up with this with the legal HR.
Oh, there was a room.
Right, there was a room.
There was a room, and there were a lot of people in there. There were a lot of dollars burning in that room. Right.
What else is wrong? Oh, can't talk about dirty butts. Okay, no dirty butts or dirty balls. Like, who says on Facebook, like, oh, but, man, my ball's dirty. Like, or my butthole needs a washing. Like. Someone should put that.
God only knows.
Randy, put that on your Facebook and see what happens. Like, my butthole needs washing and see how fast I can take it down. I'm just.
And now you're a guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't fail every week. We got to talk about, you know, either. Anyway. That's why we get mocked all the time with like guests. Like, yeah, I listened to your last episode. Like, really? Really? We're talking about buttholes? Like, yeah.
It's
Facebook talked about it, so we're going to have to talk about it.
Well, it's news. It's exactly. Technology news.
It's news. It's breaking news.
Hey, if Detroit News can have a headline that uses the phrase poo water, we can talk about that.
That's so stupid. Oh, that person got fired. Do you remember the floods, like, from, like, it was, like, 4 years ago? And, like, you can't just say it was, like, the news would say, like, hey, you know, raw sewage backed up on the lodge, you know, and it flooded half the city. Like, no, it's, like, drivers suffering through poo water. Like, in the Detroit news, in the paper, it's, like.
I'm glad, like, I can chime in on the, like, the dirty butt.
The important
water
stuff.
Talk.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'll jump in right now. This is
my favorite line from the closing is, I love a show that can talk about Mickey Rooney dying for 10 seconds and poop for 10 minutes. You know, just, yeah. Welcome to the IT and the D show.
Thank you.
Speaking of, I can't do it. I'm not going to do a bad segue for that.
No,
that's
right,
not
right,
that's
right,
bad. Right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Brent Yax from Awcom. He this is the IT and the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen, Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment two. This is the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online at itinthed.com. You want
to
know why?
That's never not going to be funny.
No, it's forever. It's forever. Why do you keep saying my last name? Fine, I won't anymore. But you're going to get that pause forever. Find us online at itinthed.com. You want to know why? Because we are IT in the D. And
you. Nah, you're still not.
We love talking about you, too.
We do.
We love you.
God, here we are. This is what? 5 years later?
Four or five,
still,
yeah.
Still makes me laugh.
Yeah. And you're still mad about it, which makes us even laugh even
That's
more.
That's what makes it funny. It's like if you let someone know that when they call you Skippy, it pisses you off,
yeah,
they will call you Skippy. Or at least we would for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. It's never going to not, yeah. But you know what? Speaking of that, incidents happen.
They do.
And they require complex coordination between ops and software development teams who are putting out fires every day.
It happens.
That's why getting alerts immediately is critical. Thankfully, there's Ops Genie by Atlassian. Ops Genie empowers dev and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues. And it helps notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths that count for things like time zones and holidays. Go figure. Better yet, Ops Genie allows for deep flexibility in how, when, and where alerts are deployed with over 200 integrations like Jira, Amazon CloudWatch, Datadog, New Relic, and more.
In which I feel like I'm like I get touched by all of those.
So. Are you going to be okay?
I know, it's
you show the jury on this doll where they touch
it. Sometimes it's a good touch, sometimes it's a bad touch, but yeah.
Plus, it tracks all activity and provides useful insights to improve future incident responses. Do us a favor. With Ops Genie, your next incident does not stand a chance. Visit opsgenie.com to sign up and get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's opsgenie.com, OPS Genie. Never miss a critical alert again.
No, and that's honestly like 5 people. If you just want to test something out quick and like you've got like a small little SWAT team that does like incident response, that's not a bad deal to give it a shot and try it out, yeah, see how it works.
Yeah. First hit's free, kid.
Exactly.
Speaking of the first hit being free, we got Brent Yaks. And I told you I was going to find something in the house. He's the CEO of Awcom. How the heck are you doing?
I am great, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No, good
Absolutely.
To see you, man.
Like I said, I saw a blog by you. I think we've probably been connected on LinkedIn since LinkedIn started. We've kind of known of each other, but we never like actually met. So it's kind of awesome
in
having
same
you.
Same neighborhood for the same amount of time.
Yeah, totally. Same space, same, you know, like it's like one of those things where we never bump into each other. But no, appreciate having you out. So you wrote a blog that I really liked. Usually I don't like them because sometimes they're pointed or
who does?
But you were talking about technical debt and I couldn't have agreed with you more. But why don't you dive in? We'll talk about Occam in a little bit, but why don't you dive in on technical debt? Yeah. And then we'll talk about your company a little bit.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm glad somebody reads, you know, a blog still. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we tried. We added a video, you know. We were hoping that, you know, maybe we'll get someone to watch. But,
colors, yeah. Yeah, blinking. Yeah.
Yeah, so technical debt, it's a concept that's been around for a little bit. It was actually come up with, or the name was coined by a guy named Walt Cunningham, who was kind of a, you know, an old school development badass. You know, like today I'm a developer too, but today you have kind of the it's easy to develop, really easy. There's a million frameworks and libraries and all these tools out there. It's easy. Everybody can do it. You can download an app. You can pretty much build an app. I mean, it's easy. So this guy's one of the old school badasses, like the inventor of a wiki, you know, old school, like has his own law, like Moore's law kind of guy. So he came up with this thing called technical debt. And basically what it is like, if you are pushing off decisions like for short-term gains, there's some type of long-term impact that's going to happen. And that's kind of the summary of what technical debt is. And in the technical sphere, for him at least, it was development. If I say
– oh, these Windows servers will be fine.
It'll be great. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be great. Office 07 works fine today.
Right.
Everyone loves it. It's fine.
Update, schmupdate.
Exactly. What could go wrong? And that's the concept, right? It is – stop, or at least here's a way to put a financial model around pushing off some of these decisions.
But if we install that security patch, it breaks our code.
It does. So let's leave it alone. Thank you. Who was that? What was that? Who was that? Who
Struts. Lost, like, yeah.
300 million records because, you know, they didn't want to do an Apache update.
Yeah, the Struts. That, yeah.
Yeah, because it costs too much to do the Apache update.
Because to fix our code would take too long. So
That's exactly it. So that's the concept. It is, you know, let's evaluate some of these decisions with some kind of financial model around it. In the software development space, it's pretty easy because you can say you can put time and effort and energy and you can calculate kind of what those costs are by pushing off. In the business world, it's really hard to do. What is the cost of not upgrading 365, right? I mean,
it's zero until something breaks.
Right. It's zero until someone breaks, or you look at the fact that there's a ton of productivity enhancements that have happened.
Right.
And you can figure out and you can calculate that costs money. So if I have 100 people.
Right.
And now I have productivity that's not nearly as good as it could be. There's a dollar amount you can associate to that.
We always did these exercises with HP and like saying downtime and, you know, but do companies really have a grasp of like, you know, if Jim doesn't go to work for 4 hours today, what is really that economic impact to the business?
I don't think anybody has a very good grasp of that.
I think
everyone has an assumption of what it might cost. They know what the hours are. But I don't think they are able to look at that from – take it from the individual and look at it from a company.
I know they downtime on an auto line, downtime if an app's down like for like a Domino's. They got that number down to a penny to the second. But like I don't think it is – More so like, hey, my laptop's screwing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what does that cost you?
Dual monitors, right? Dual monitors can be sometimes a 30% bump on productivity. If you have a department of four and they're all have a full plate and can't do anything more.
Is that the number for that?
Depends on what you do. But dual monitors can be up to a 30% bump on productivity on the tasks that you have.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm a four-person department and we're all 100%. I have to hire somebody. There's a tangible dollar amount associated with that person I have to hire. Put dual monitors in and you can get a 25% swing on that number.
Right.
You don't have to hire someone. So there's ways to calculate what that cost is, but not doing it is what the technical debt is. If you don't do anything, you're accumulating debt somewhere. You just don't know what it is yet.
I mean, it's almost the point. It's getting to that point with the security these days. Like it's almost like I'm buying all this crap. I'm still getting breached. Like how about I just don't do anything? You know,
I think don't do anything. Great move. Great.
That's the way to go. That's no, because we always talked about buying security. It's one of three things that you have to because of compliance. You're paranoid, so you want to, or you just got screwed, so you need to. Right? Like, there's no.
Yeah. Exactly.
No one else buys for any other reason.
There's a trigger somewhere.
Right.
And usually it's the latter, right? Usually it's the last one. It's like something just happened, so we're finally going to invest in this.
CIO's going to roll heads or, you know, his head's going to roll, you know, fix this crap. I don't care what it costs.
Even though we told the CIO a year ago and he said we don't have budget for it. But whatever.
That's the last 2 to 3 years,
My buddy of mine, the biggest sale of his career was it was a spoofed email to an auto supplier. Where the CFO wrote like a $600,000 check from that was written by the CEO, you know, to their bank. He's like, make sure this never happens again. The checkbook's open. Like, don't even discount it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have some new customers that we're kind of like cleaning up now. And they've had the horror stories where not only once that happened, but it happened to the same CFO again.
Oh, my God.
Again. Within like 6 months of the same request.
Wow.
You think you'd put you think you'd put stuff in place. You'd,
like a new CFO.
Yeah. So I mean that too. So I mean
found the problem. Right. We fixed it.
So how do you
there's your technical debt right there. That guy.
So I mean, how do you put a dollar figure around a lot of this stuff? Can you or do you? Or is it worth doing?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely worth doing from our standpoint. There's a couple ways to look at it. So technical debt comes in two categories. There's kind of business debt and technical debt, you know, or infrastructure, we call it. But business is the things that you can establish an ROI to. So, for example, I upgrade, you know, one of my critical systems, and I know that when I upgrade it, that I have a bump on productivity, or I can have a higher quality process, or I can reduce inventory storage. Yep. There's a tangible number, right? It's a business decision that made it. It's not an IT guy that said, hey, make this switch, right? So those ones, there's an ROI to. It's pretty easy to make that switch. Then there's the infrastructure ones like new Wi-Fi, right? New internet connections. Those are very hard things to put a tangible number around. But when you start looking at them in terms of you know, employee experience, churn rate, employee attraction, mm-hmm. retention. When you put some business model around it or KPI around it, what you can see is that some of those core infrastructure changes will affect how many people you have to replace every year,
mm-hmm.
your separation rate, your churn rate. So you can put numbers around them and you can actually get to the point where you can make a financial decision. It just takes work. You need to, from the infrastructure side, you need to create baselines. You need to start recording stuff. You need to start keeping track of numbers. And then once you have those numbers, then you can determine if it's worthwhile or valuable to make some of those decisions.
Keeping track? Who does that?
Isn't that the time of data? Isn't that?
Right. So I guess going back to square one, Aucom, you've been, you know, you were telling me you started in 99, and that's kind of when I started in the IT industry here in Detroit. I guess talk to me about, you know, how you started, and we'll talk about the kind of the big shift you just had.
Yeah. So I started Aucom in 99. I was actually out in Grand Rapids before that doing some software consulting, kind of a engineer slash developer by trade. So I came out here in 99 and we were, you know, the infrastructure company. We were the data center company. You know, we were, you know, we called it ping power pipe, right? You sold space, you sold internet connections, and you sold power. And we kind of saw, you know, approaching the 2007, 2008 area when all the big boys like Amazon and all those started coming out. You know, we had cloud providers that basically had economies of scale that there's no way as a small company we could really compete with. I think in like 2012, Amazon had already dropped their price 49 times, right? So it's just something we couldn't compete
with. You couldn't offer artisanal cloud?
No.
Is that a thing yet?
What is it? You know, we did for a couple of years because
right,
you have to play that game. And
well, it was shared hosting back then. I sold that crap. Yeah. You're like, wait a minute.
It's dedicated, which, shared.
Same thing as shared time on a mainframe. Technology has not really changed.
Right. What's your cloud strategy? We're trying to figure out what's the worst sales questions you can ask on a call. And I think what keeps you up at night is the worst. And then what's your cloud strategy?
What's your digital transformation?
What's your digital transformation strategy? That's the third one. Yeah. I'm going to write a blog on that.
Yeah,
how to suck as a sales guy, part three.
Always be closing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so we saw the writing on the wall, and we kind of got out of that game and started going down the managed services route, which is really kind of your IT management route. My passion is really in business, the business side of the world, even though I'm a tech guy by trade. So it was just, how do we create that synergy? How do we create a relationship? That's another one of those words, right? Synergy?
Yeah.
I hate that word.
That was very early 2000s, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're
looking for synergistic relationships. Yeah.
So I reached out on LinkedIn to you in 1999.
Right.
Tried to set up a meeting.
I just wanted to sell you crap. You know, I'm kidding. Maybe, no, I'm not.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I met Dave. I tried to sell him crap. He answered my call. He answered my spam. You didn't.
I may have. We probably met.
Probably.
At one point.
Probably.
You know, But yeah, so, you know, we changed a bit. Now we do kind of the IT management space, but it's really focused heavily on where businesses find value in technology instead of just selling technology.
Well, that's my biggest takeaway from, you know, you telling the story before the show was, how do you feel like you've been at it now 15 years? How do you figure out now?
19.
Because you said, well, no, now. But I mean, when you decided to make that switch,
yep.
When did you, like, you said you went 95% that way to 95% the complete other way. How did you, I mean, was it? You were basically hanging on by a thread. Well, how did you come to that decision?
The thread may have cut.
Oh, fine.
It was, yeah.
You were mid-fall.
Free falling.
Yeah, we went negative for a while doing it. But we knew that we had to make a change. We knew that the, commoditization of the hosting market was happening.
Yeah.
You know, all the little players were bought up and then all the big players went cloud, heavy cloud. This is like when VMware was coming really big and then,
yep.
You know, Microsoft released their cloud services. And so, I mean, we knew what was coming. The writing was on the wall. Amazon's jumping into the market and they grew it. You know, it took them 20 years to make Amazon $10 billion and mm-hmm. then it took them 10 years to make AWS $10 billion, right? So, I mean, it was a very fast process that this happened. And so we had 95% of our revenue in data center services. We were behind the scenes hosting apps. And then, you know, in about a 5-6 year transition, we made it 95% managed services. And in the middle of that, because we decided to cut revenue first to make everyone really eager to make this work. In the middle of that, yeah, we went under. You know, we're not going out of business or anything, but I mean, we went cash flow negative and even in the red for the first time in, you know, ages for us. And yeah, it hurt. You know, we really had to make sure when we were at the bottom of that this is the direction we want to stay.
Really, what we want to be doing?
Are you really sure about this?
And that's the thing too. You get into managed services. You know, you got everybody else doing that too, right? I mean, you got everybody from HP and the consulting, like the Accentures and all that, all the way on down to, you know, how did you figure out, did you go for a specific customer niche? I mean, how did you carve that out?
Yeah, we went for, and what we're still doing now, and it's hard because the funny thing about this is, and some of the struggles in the middle of it was, we don't know how to sell this yet. You know, this is a new thing for us. You know, we know how to sell we know how to sell
so
data
familiar.
Center.
Yeah. You know,
ping power pipe, I get it. Like, I understand how to sell our uptime and our data center.
And that's the hardest part is getting customers to take a chance on you. Yeah, you know, that's basically like, I got to tell everyone, like, hey, we've done it. We've done it with these three companies. That's the only way I get a seat at the table anymore.
And we started with our current customers and we found some opportunities there. And we did kind of a beta 2-year trial where we took on three of our existing customers in the managed space. That helped us develop the product. We had some good customers. We had some that we realized this is not the right audience for us. So we learned a lot in the process. And then once we figured out, okay, how do we sell and what are we selling and what's our differentiators and why are we doing this differently than some of the other people are, then we started figuring out what our niche is. And we always were looking at how do we link business and technology. And there's only a small set of companies that are really passionate about that, and those are the growing companies, right?
I want to be your trusted business advisor. That's the fourth. That's the fourth. Trusted business advisor. Yeah. So, all right, I'm writing this blog as well. I'm going to take notes on these.
Yeah. So, I mean, we figured it out kind of on the road, but we knew what we were going to do. We knew what we were delivering. We knew the value we had. We knew the product we had. And then it was, how are we figuring out how to market and sell to that audience?
Sure.
Right.
Well, you know, that's the thing. The good thing is that you had the customers already that kind of knew and trusted you. That's 90% of it, right? Because, I mean, new customer acquisition, you know, is the worst part of it. Yeah, but existing customers to try to move to something else is not so much because they know your process, they know you.
Yeah.
You know.
That helped us a lot.
Yeah, it's at least easier.
Yeah. Right, right. So, I mean,
we have 15-year relationships with some of these customers, right?
Sure.
I mean, we've been in business since 99. So they were willing to take a gamble on us because they knew who we were.
Like,
so,
hey, here's a story. Yeah. We're in this space. It's kind of – it's real estate now. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, and you know, this was 11 and 11 and 12. I think we're having these meetings with customers and, you know, they're like, wait, what are you doing now? Why are you stopping to do what you're doing? Like, you know, just having these conversations initially is a little interesting, but you know, it's working out for us.
So. Well, you got companies all over the state that have done like white box cloud hosting. That are like Liquid and like, but then you got like the big boys too, like you know, we had a couple of colo projects lately, and it's like, man, it's like, where, you know, and that was the one thing where I'm at. They sold off their colo business, sold it all off. They just completely got out of it.
I've been trying to. You have buyers, like, I mean, you know, we don't want colo.
Yeah, probably,
Brad.
Yeah, no, I know a few.
No, you know, it's one of those services that is just there's not the demand anymore because what we've been doing, and instead of, you know, I joke, but we're not really selling it off. What we're doing is migrating people into cloud based environments, and we typically don't own the cloud.
I mean, why do I want to have my server in your rack,
right,
anymore?
And,
why?
Yeah, I don't want to buy a. I don't want to own it. I don't want dedicated. I don't care. You know, I just want something virtual. Consumption model, pay as I go, use it, get rid of it. So
I just want it to be up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if anyone's not looking at, you know, that was the big thing. If anybody's still, people still buy CapEx. People still have green blinking lights in their basements. And it's, you know, I get it. They want to, you know, it makes you feel warm. It makes you feel like, makes you feel good. You
I
know.
Can touch it. It's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cloud, where is that shit? I don't know where it is.
No, I have that conversation every single day. CapEx, I mean, I think it's just the old CIO mentality, maybe. I don't know what it is that's driving that, but – and maybe it's the IT guy. You know, I've been an IT guy for 23, 24 years now, you know, gone through help desk all the way through IT support, systems analysis management, all that stuff. And, yeah, I wanted the control too, right? I mean, IT has an ego. We do. And
we want
the control. So
get out of town.
I get it. I don't want someone else touching that. I got it. You know, it's mine. So
right.
I get it. But, yeah, it's
– well, and then every meeting, if something ever goes wrong in a cloud environment, well, you know, if that was – you know, if we had that, that wouldn't happen.
Exactly. I told you, no, this cloud is new.
It's not my fault.
Yeah. It's just a trend.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's one of the things is – we were talking about this the other day, and I want to get your feedback on it. There's no answer today. If you what I'm getting at is, like, you know, 99, it's a pretty simple answer. You know, now everything's kind of driven by the application, and every application is hosted somewhere else. So, like, the infrastructure is
and wants to talk to stuff somewhere else.
The infrastructure's complete backseat. Yeah. It's irrelevant, but it's completely non irrelevant.
Yeah, I think the talking too is really the important thing, mm-hmm. because that's the only reason there's a problem.
Yeah,
so that everything now is so analytic heavy, and everything needs to talk to each other, and all the reports need to be, you know, deep and insightful, mm-hmm. and everything's siloed into a different cloud provider somewhere. Right.
Right.
That's why there's a challenge now.
How the hell do you manage it?
I mean, there's some great tools out there. We manage it with third-party software. You know, we use reporting and analytic engines. Google just let go of their one for free now. Yeah. They have a cool, you know, data tool that you can use now that's free. That's we're playing with that to see what it does.
Well, there goes my cloud application manager sales pitch.
all part of their master plan.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
No, it's tough. It is really tough, you know, to put it all together, but. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it'll change in 5 years anyway, so.
Well, no, it changes in 6 months. Are you kidding? That was a joke at HP. If you hate your job, just wait 6 months. It'll change, probably for the worse. But, you know, that's the thing. If you're not changing at least every 6 months or looking at change, like, get out of technology.
Yeah, that – actually, it's funny. The struggle we run into more than anything else, technology's not really ever the issue. I mean, there's always a technical solution to something. There's always a tool. It's change management. People don't like to change. They hate it.
Yep.
Organizations are afraid of it. And our biggest thing when we go in and work with somebody is over the first 18 months of the relationship, we got to get them to be okay with change. And until we get to that point, we can't really do a lot.
Well, you become a dinosaur if you're not.
But most are.
But that's real.
Right, 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 right. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Well, this is the why, you know, someone's going to
better. Good enough for ERG forefathers. Right. Good enough for ERG.
Right.
We're going to have employees that are like, this is our fifth ERP in 4 years and we hate every one of them and it makes my job harder anyway.
Every single CRM, time. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been beat up a lot too, so they're just resistant.
Right.
Sometimes you get the, like, friendly resistant, and then sometimes you get somebody sabotaging. And there's that whole range you got to figure out who is who and how to deal with it.
Well, I mean, for crying out loud, you look when Facebook changes their GUI. They haven't done it in ages, but man, there was, like, people would come unglued. And it's like, it's a free, like, why are you mad? Like,
yeah, I'm sorry. The free service you're in no way obligated to use has mildly inconvenienced you.
Right.
My favorite is, like, I think Hotmail in the back of the day, right? This is probably the 2002 or something like that. And somebody had sued them for changing similar policy change. And they decided not to store as much data or something. And the judge was like, you're right. You win. I'm going to give you 10 times what you paid.
Yeah. Oh my God, I totally remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good for that judge. Yeah, it's free. Like, what the hell? People use Hotmail still. Can you believe it? Like, do you ever run
AOL?
They do. Cool. My AOL still works. Oh, I got to find out if it
does. Your AOL IM?
And my IM, yeah.
Do you remember Prodigy?
Totally.
Yeah. CompuServe, baby.
We went through the whole going through like Winamp and, you know, Lotus Notes email. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, oh, God. Yeah. Those are good. Those are good. Those are fun times. In the time before time. Right. This is pre-YouTube.
The long ago.
When I was connected directly to the Chicago NAP on an OC12 and I could watch like 500K streaming full screen videos.
It's funny looking back, like none of that stuff did a lot, right, compared to now.
No, yeah,
today, nothing. Things do everything.
Right.
Back then it really didn't do anything, but it was more complex back then.
Right.
Like the Lotus Notes, I mean that.
Oh my God.
It took, you know, years of training to create
a macro.
Yeah. No, but like if you look at 9/11, I remember watching on CNN had a live stream and I was watching it on a full screen on, you know, because we were sitting in the data center.
Yeah, so was I actually.
Right. And I was like, oh, my God, everybody come over here. You got to see this. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, because it kept crashing for everybody else.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And me, I'm, you know, direct expressway. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, how do we – I was going to ask you more, but I think we're good. Unless we didn't turn over any stones.
No, you know, it's a concept that is either you know, either makes sense or doesn't. And the reality of it is that it's there. It exists. There is a financial model you can put around it. But you need an organization that, that's willing to get, do the buy-in, right? So if they're willing to investigate, you know, how much it'll cost to not do some of these things, then, you know, have the conversation. But you gotta look to the execs to make sure that they're willing to put some KPI around what they're doing today to create some baselines. And if they're not, I mean, or if you don't have those numbers, you don't have access to them, you don't have the systems to them, well, then you need to tackle that first.
Sure.
And approach that first. So
sure. Good times. Good talk.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much, guys.
So hey, we're gonna wrap things up with this episode 277 of the IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank Brent Jackson, CEO from Aucom. You can find him at Aucom. That's AwecomM.com. Did I get that right?
That is correct.
Ah, unchanged. See it? Good sales guy, remembers everything. I would also like to thank our sponsors, Palm, DigitalOcean, and OpsGenie. Thank you for keeping the lights on. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like... Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys. Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.